Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 30 Day Reset with Karen Taylor Bass, celebrity PR expert in empowering your business, brand, and bottom line. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, call 917-509-3061 or send an email to Karen@KarenTaylorBass.com. Want to be a part of our exciting show today? Well, you can call in at 516-418-5559. And now, here's our brand and 30-day reset expert, Karen Taylor Bass.
How do I come on after that intro? I just feel like I need some music. I don't know, some champagne. Hello, everyone. Welcome to 30 Day Reset. It's your girl, Karen Taylor Bass, and celebrity lifestyle expert, Janet Chill Scott. Hello, Janet.
Hello. Happy to
be
here.
Hey, I love my intro. It just gets better every week. I don't know. I love it. Today we have a special, special show. Five things about show business you are clueless about. Listen and ask questions. And our first guest, well, our only guest, since Matthew canceled on us, our only guest is the one and only, the maestro, the famed publicist, the author, oh my God, the Berry Gordy of music and beyond. Well, I guess Berry Gordy was music, but the Berry Gordy of, what can we say? Couture? Of couture.
Yeah, hey, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, I like that.
Angelo Ellerbe, the CEO of Double Exposure. To those of you who don't know Angelo, he founded the company in 1972. It's the ultimate one-stop shop for clients. I mean, everything from he's known as the Henry Higgins of hip-hop for his work preparing rappers and celebrities and actors, you know, for just that personal touch, what etiquette means, what it means to hold your head high, but hold your stomach in. But more than anything, what I learned, you know, Angelo was my first boss. He gave me my start in PR. I would credit him for 90% of my success. That's a lot, 90%. He's just amazing. But the big thing about Angelo is presentation from top to bottom. He's all about the presentation. He's worked with everyone. I mean, literally everyone. He's got to be like 900 years old,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've been blessed to work with him as well, Karen.
Yeah, I know. I mean, who hasn't worked with Angelo? I mean, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Mary J. Blige, DMX, who he also managed. I mean, everyone who's anyone has definitely had to come across and sit across a table with Angelo. Without further ado, do you have music or an intro for Angelo, Janet?
Not today, but we'll work on that.
It's Angelo Ellerbe. Angelo!
Wow, you guys give out introductions like no one else.
Like cheese, right?
God bless you both for your introduction to Karen, Janet, and my God, Karen went on for an hour on mine.
I did.
Well, let me
listen,
thank
you
the both
taught
of
me
you
well.
All.
You taught me well.
Wow.
Long-winded.
Let me just say to the both of you all, congratulations on your success. I'm so glad to see that you two are working together, building an empire, extending on your empire, I should say. And I can just say bravo, bravo, bravo. You, Karen, make me very proud. You make me very, very proud. And I wanted to say that to you for years, but you make me very proud. I know Angelo Ellerbe very well. And I think when people know me, they know that I'm for no nonsense. And I think that you entered in my life when there was absolutely no nonsense. We were working out of a 2x4 on 7th Avenue.
And loved
and
every moment of it. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. It was someone had rented me a space that I wasn't really paying for, but it was me and you against the world.
Yeah.
And we stayed focused. And we did talk about, I mean, my whole thing was, always presentation and how you go to position yourself, present yourself, and how you handle your client and how you looked and your makeup and your, all those things were ingredients that I still went by to this day. So I really do say, you know, Karen, bravo to you. Bravo to you and Janet for working together, building this and extending the empire, your empire. Bravo. Really. And
oh, Angelo, oh, my God, the show is over. Drop the mic. What can we say? No, but seriously, I mean, I we don't say it often because we don't, but, you know, I always give you credit and love you so much, and I know it's not like a cheerleader rah-rah, but why not? I mean, you know, like I said in the intro, you are definitely 90% responsible for my love of PR, and but more importantly, understanding the art form, because that's what you taught us. We sat at your knees, and it was like our Motown, you know, how to do this, yeah, how to call a journalist, you know, how to have a pitch ready for them, and if, yeah, that doesn't work, what else to use, and then always, always make them feel special. And I'm happy we're talking about five things that you're clueless about, because I do believe that, you know, now that we're all older, that everything has changed. So let me just start out by asking you, how are you today?
I'm blessed. I'm very, very blessed, and I'm very favored by God. I'm spiritually uplifted. I'm in a mode of sharing and giving. Today is a good day. Today is a real good day for me. And like each and every single day is a good day for me. I'm blessed. I'm celebrating 45 years in this business.
Wow.
I'm celebrating 58 years.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so I can only be blessed by the many blessings that has been bestowed upon me. I'm good.
Wow.
I've learned the importance of life is not complaining, but trying to aid and assist yourself and uplift yourself. To complain, that means you're not satisfied with the work of God. While we complain, when we can sit back and just look at all the blessings that he's given to us. I was born and raised in the city of Newark. My degree has nothing to do with communications. My degree is in fashion design. This was something that I learned. It wasn't innate. I learned this, and I taught myself and all the people around me. So how could I not be blessed? How could I not be in good favor? I'm still doing. I mean, it's 45 years later.
I know, and you're still doing, getting better and better and better.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
you know,
God is good
just fine wine. So the first question I want to ask you, and Janet and I, we play off each other a lot, as you can tell in the intro, is how have you managed, because everyone that we come across every day, even little kids nowadays, everybody wants to be a star. Everybody
sure
wants to be a star in some shape or form. How have you managed to stay relevant? Because I don't think people understand that once you, the easy job, believe it or not, and you taught us this, Angelo, is getting there. The hardest job is staying there. How do you stay relevant?
That's true. Well, you know, the first thing that I have never achieved to be a star, I'll always tell everyone, if you spell that word back backwards, that's not what you really want to be. I have found an innocence in my soul that keeps me alive, and I understand that innocence at this stage of the game. And the innocence is working equally as hard as I did 45 years ago, working to the same latitude today. I don't believe in the excitement of PR. So many of these young people today, with all due respect to them, I salute them, I don't look at them as publicists.
Oh, could you say that again? Because there's so many fake publicists out there. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Somebody has a Twitter account. They think they're a publicist.
Oh, my God.
Right.
You know what
that's
I mean? Or they have like 5 million followers. They're a publicist. What is a publicist? Can you define that?
You know,
in your words.
How I look at a PR person, I don't look at them as being receptionists, secretaries, or assistants. Because a lot of the publicists today, they will go and get a Beyonce, they'll go get a Jay-Z, they'll go get these people who are highly visible. You're really not working for them. You're really taking phone calls, and you're really just booting. I'm from the grassroots, and I have to begin with someone with no name and create their presence. I take social media and I put it to the left of me. I'm focused on creating and branding them. That means I have to get on the phone and utilize my relationships. I have to sell them. I have to utilize my favor. I have to really condition my product. I still teach them the importance of diction and speech and mannerisms and how you look in the whole other bit there. Those are still really winning qualities for me. And so when I go on the phone and I go to pitch these no-name groups, and that's the key thing,
yeah,
is the no-name groups is the one that you have to work the hardest for. Those are the ones who want, they want Jay Leno, they want this, they want that, they want that. People don't even know that you exist. So what I have to do is take the time and really create. And then a lot of them are more ambitious than they are been ambitious. They're all over the map, and everybody's in their ear telling them how great they are. But when I go to the media and I go to the editors, they don't know who you are. Your mama
right.
thinks that you're great. Your manager thinks that you're great. I have to come in and really massage that editor, that writer. I have to be able to tell two and three stories. I have to take them to a give back. If it's AIDS, if it's cancer, if it's something to do that alignment to, that's going to give them visibility. The first and the most important thing is getting those first articles, because those first articles are going to allow you to get to the bigger and the better ones. You know, people will come to me and say, oh, no, I don't want to do the grassroots stuff. You know, I want Spin, I want Rolling Stone, I want, well, you know, and I say to them, your wants is not going to hurt you. I'm going to give you what I think you need to have, and we're going to have a building process here.
Let me just say this mm-hmm. because I say to people sometimes, my friend, the publicist, this or that, they still don't understand how you get the writers or what in relation does a writer have to do with them or an editor or Jay Leno or some of the other talk shows. They don't understand that a publicist, as you said, building the relationships means the relationships to the people that are on those shows that can get them on the shows or get them in the magazines. Some people don't seem to connect that.
You know, and that's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that you don't, and you have to spend 40% of your day and your time in explaining
educating
to
them.
Your clients what the job of a PR person is. I'm not your manager, I'm not your daddy, and I'm not your mama. I'm your publicist. And
right.
it's going to take time for me to create an awareness campaign that's going to allow you to get visibility. I'm going to go to the BETs, and I'm going to sit down with them and tell them what we're trying to do. I'm going to bring this group in. I'm going to bring lunch for 40 people. We're going to sit down, and you're going to sing to them a cappella or maybe with the piano. And now they understand where I'm coming from. And now you're able to go and do maybe a BET, or they're going to think about you because you're a new group. Everything is done on charts. And radio is really dictative to what takes place for you editorially and electronic-wise, TV-wise.
Right.
So everything for me is planting the seed and letting it grow. I will go to Essence, and I will say, well, this is an act here that, you know, I really believe in the whole other bit. Can I take five of you all to lunch? And I just want you to talk to them. I don't want you to do no interviews, and I let them sing a cappella. So they may not consider him for that particular time, but as things go and as their awareness campaign is being built, they'll think about them. And then I call them periodically, say, did you forget this group over here? Did you forget this group over here? But what our young artists is not understanding, they like instant coffee. I've never drink instant coffee. I drink brewed coffee. And it takes time. It takes time.
I know it has to be Blue Mountain.
No, well, you know I love me some Blue Mountain, too, especially from Jamaica.
Exactly, Mon.
Yeah, man. But it is the seed that you plant that allows that client, and if the client has to have patience, And with the first month or two, for me, it's really important that I go immediately to work on them because they lose concentration and they lose interest fast if you're not building an itinerary for them of activity. Then you have to really have relationships with these clients so they get an understanding. And I tell them, they listen, well, Angela, why can't we get Fox? Well, Fox don't know who you are. I'm having
Hold
to
that
build
thought, Angela. We got to pay a bill.
Yes.
Thanks, everyone. If you're listening to 30 Day Reset Radio, this is Karen Taylor Bass and Janet Shield Scott and our special guest today, Angelo Ellerbe, the PR legend, icon, everything. And I'm going to turn it over to my girl, Janet.
Here we go.
Authors, artists, experts, entrepreneurs, moms, and small business owners, reset and power up. Download your do-it-yourself PR guide and your very own book at KarenTaylorBass.com. Don't wait. Book your spot now to talk to the experts on the 30-Day Reset Show with Karen Taylor Bass. You can email Karen at KarenTaylorBass.com or you can call 917-509-509. 3061. Reset and book your spot now.
Well, all right, we're back.
All right, now I tell you, if nothing else, if you don't know the name, if you don't know my name at the end of the show, you are not paying attention. This is Karen Taylor Bass.
Oh, you guys are
along
too
with
funny.
Janet, Jill Scott, and Angelo Ellerbe. Angela, you know what I remember when, you know, I was working with you and I was working for you is how, like you said something really key, and I think people have to understand that, is what makes someone really a publicist or
a true expert
is when they can take something that no one sees value in and add value to it. And make it a movement. And that's what you taught us. Because a lot of the things, I mean, to be quite honest, a lot of the artists we worked with didn't really have any.
Yes.
They were low marquee. But when we were done with them, you would thought they were like Diana Ross and the Supremes.
You know, Karen, I'm smiling because I remember those staff meetings that we used to have. And people would say, the staff would say, I don't want to work that.
I don't want to work the A-team.
I'm not touching the A-team. You got to be crazy. Well, are you buying the record? You're not buying no records, are you? I said, you ain't buying no records. You're going to work this record.
Right.
And, the clear thing for me is that you needed to listen to that music, read that bio, and come up with your pitches and come up with your strategies. And you better have three interviews because it was eight or nine. You better have three interviews by the end of the week because three times that nine gave me 27 interviews.
This is true, though.
Yeah.
It gives me to know this. This is how we came up.
I was on the other end. I was the media that you guys were courting.
Right.
you know, the thing for me, I have had more employees at Empire State Building that have had steps. And at the end of the day, for me, it doesn't really matter. But 80% of those people that worked for me back then will send me a letter and say, I get it. Now I got it. I got it now. I understand why you were so hard. Because when someone is transferring money from your hand to my hand, that means that you are responsible. And they have given you the responsibility to bring light to their careers. What right do you have to mistreat their careers? I would tell you, I don't think that this is going to happen. And I passed on a lot of stuff, but there was a whole lot. I mean, there were 15 people that we worked in our offices, and everybody had to get a check.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you have to take what's coming your way and work your magic. Concentrate. It's not about going to 150 parties. It's not about your social media. Those are aids and assistance to a publicist. But that is something that they, the client, can do on their own. My job is really taking them and giving them an education first of what PR is about, making them presentable to go inside of meetings where I won't be embarrassed and let their charismatic personalities sweep to that writer, to that journalist, and impress them so that they would think about them and they would do the story.
Absolutely.
It's rudimentary. Mm-hmm. All the rudimentary things are really important to me.
Well,
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do
this.
I don't want to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The client
so
always says,
play
I don't want to do that.
I'm sorry, Angela. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, Donna. Go ahead.
And so we want to play a game with you. So it's called one word association. So we're going to name an artist that you've worked with, and you just give us one word.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Mary J. Blige.
Wonderful.
Alicia Keys.
Hardworking.
Michael Jackson.
Incredible.
DMX.
That was the word.
Okay.
Moving along. Nina Simone.
Sensational.
But, those folks who are listening to 30 Day Reset, did you hear the artist we mentioned? It's been decades. How do people find you, Angelo? I mean, I know you're legendary and all, but when I worked with you, you wasn't working with DMX or Nina Simone.
No, I wasn't.
People find you?
Always my website. I never advertised anything. Everything was always a word of mouth.
Right.
And I think it was the word of mouth that carried it through for so many years is that we all had to give a damn about the project.
Mm.
You see, here's clearly for me, and I just want everybody who's seeking to get into media, and I'm going to be very honest, we have to understand that we're living in a very racist society, and particularly as it relates to PR. It differs for us, and people need to understand that. And that's why I still work and do diligence and work hard, because I'm still having to prove myself to the other side of the rainbow. We must understand, and we say all those excuses, those are the color cards. No, these are the real cards. These are the playing cards. It's 52 of them. Don't pull the joker. If you're going to do this, then do this from your heart, because there's racism. I mean, let's talk about one, being gay, two, being black, and then trying to come up in the 70s. I got all hell when no one else knew what I was getting each and every single day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had to understand when I called Jay Leno and said I had Chub Rock. Chub what? Or I had Case.
You should have said the A team.
or the A team. And the thing for me is that I didn't care what these people said. I know I had to try for these clients.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, for me, it was all about my reports and being able to talk to them. My company was stronger than a Susan Blonde.
Right.
But because I was black and gay.
Right.
I wasn't getting it. I wasn't getting that account.
I wasn't getting those coins, baby.
No, I wasn't getting the coins that Susan Blonde got.
Right.
And so I want these young people to understand who's out here saying that they are publicists. You got to work. Look, I got the A-list people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still difficult to even get the A-list people on late-night TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you have to be to get on Ellen. And I'm just being very frank and very honest.
If you need a contact, I can help you.
Well, if the contacts are there, I look at the contacts as no more than a yellow page of a phone book.
Relationship.
It's the relationship.
It's the introduction, like you taught us, you know what I mean? It's
yes.
like what you're saying is true. What happens is, and this is something that I learned from you, Angelo, and I'm sure Janet can attest to this. The key thing with journalism and journalists, the journalists, we need them as much as, you know, they need us.
Yes.
But we have to grow with them. And what happens a lot of times, we don't grow with these people. So these producers that are at Ellen now and so forth, those were the interns I spoke to when I was at a label job. So now they've come up through the ranks, and they remember that you were the person that gave them an interview when no one else would because they were an intern. And that's what you always told us was massage your relationships. Don't get too close, but massage. And I think what happens is a lot of people dismiss. But I, but you would always tell us, you know, if you're an intern today, you're a superstar tomorrow. And that's all that is like these kids now who are running things, they were the interns. They were the interns.
And also, and then you just to talk about the A-list, you were talking about the A-list. You also, you, the two of you, you helped get some of those people to the A-list also.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. But I guess the point that I'm making, attempting to make here is that let's wake up and open our eyes to see what America has to offer. And it's offering because I've never met opportunity. I always had to create my opportunities. And
same
so
here.
What I was clear to understand that it's going to be a little bit harder for me for those two discounted points of my life, I had to work a little bit harder. And no matter who I had, it had to be a timing of that client's acceptance into that station or to late night TV or to early morning TV shows. And so yes, relationships are so very important. But let's not keep our let's not be Stevie Wonder in this neither. Let's understand what we're dealing with, like we're dealing with any other area of growth in the entertainment industry. So, yes, I support that relationship because that treat people right so that you can always be able to go back to them constantly.
And,
I mean,
and
I go down a bookstore to the I still go down a book of people that I can call that I've been calling from since the 80s.
Yes.
And then I turned on to their assistants. And the ones who was not there anymore who said, call this one. It's all about relationships. And you're right. But I don't want these, I don't want these kids to owe to just think that it's just being so fabulous that that the sad thing just takes me to places I don't like to go. Everyone
no,
is
you're right.
too fab and y'all, it ain't that. It's about the business.
But you would always
it
say it's about
being
substance.
Bad.
It's about you have to have substance. And, you know, you touched upon something when you said racism. I always tell people that, you know, when I was a publicist, a working publicist, I remember that I was one of two or three black people on the major red carpet. And then my white counterpart, they didn't even know who we were. Like, i.e., they would say, can you sh- – not we, they would say, can you let me know when Jet Li comes because I don't know what he looks like. This is their client, but they don't even know what they look like.
Yeah.
But they're not expected to know, but we're expected to, A, know, and then when you're there, people are like, well, how'd you get here? Because you don't see our faces on the red carpet. Like, you'll see us for,
absolutely.
You know, the black shows, but when it comes to, like, the mainstream shows, you can count, I'm telling you, how many of us are there. And I remember that – I was like, I said, how come they don't have to know? Like, one person came to me and was like, oh, do you know who Rita Moreno is? I'm like, you're kidding, right? You're kidding. You don't know who Rita Moreno is?
Let me say this
is their reality. It's like it's a different set of rules. Like, you don't have to know. But we have to know, and we have to know our people, but your people and everybody in Beijing at the same time. Can you
speak
to
when I you're right. When I was managing BMX, which was really it was a good time of my life because it was a whole nother world. And what I mean, a whole nother world because I was able to get into films.
Right.
I executive produced a great deal of his films. It was so, and then we did a book together at Smokey Fontaine, and I worked on the book called Earl. And I went up to Simon & Schuster to have a marketing meeting. And I sat there with Smokey, myself, and about 15 other people. They didn't know who DMX was.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how did you guys sign him and pay him close to $8 million for this book? They didn't know nothing about it, Earl. They didn't know nothing about X.
Wow.
But when I
and that was okay,
I
right?
There, that was okay for them. But when I went in there, I had a clear understanding of everyone that I was meeting with, what their titles were, how long they'd been there. So I knew what I was dealing with. They knew nothing about this boy. And if we didn't take charge, that Smokey in my office didn't take charge, we wouldn't have sold a book.
Wow.
Or how about going up into the red carpet to, we're on the red carpet and this guy's asking me, so who are you here with? Oh, just the star of the movie, that's all.
Yeah, that these are the things that people don't understand, you know, what we have to deal with. We're the ones that have to fight for our artists to be on,
yes,
not just in the Vanity Fair, but, you know, they don't give us the cover, but you have to fight for the trifold. People don't realize, like,
yes,
you know, we have to orchestrate deals. So when you think about the volume of what a publicist does, it's beyond what is people,
yes,
just might think of just spinning a story. No, we are the ones that actually create the campaign so that you can actually spin from that campaign.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Well,
I agree.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, I want to bring you in because it seems like we're just pub, and I know we have to pay another bill, so you'll hear my name again.
Yeah.
But so but did you want to, you know, before we have some questions coming in, so did you want to add something to the story before we switch gears?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about since this is sort of my end of the genre, is the fashion part of it, the stylist, the artist development, which I know that Angelo, you're very passionate about that as well, because in order to present someone, they have to have a certain image. I'd like for him to talk about that, but I don't know if you want to do that before we go to the break or what.
Angelo, can we go to a break?
Sure, I'm fine.
We're going to go to break. We're going to pay a bill. Karen Taylor,
okay,
bill.
Let me hear your name again.
All right. So, Karen, you want to talk about the social media, and then I'll...
Sure. So, you know what I want to talk about also? I want to talk about next week we have another great show. We have Sonia Moffitt is our guest next week, and she is the human resource specialist. So if you're out there listening, looking for a job, if you have been downsized, displaced, and downright in your 40s and trying to get back in, this is the show for you. Sonia comes from General Motors. You name it, she places everyone. But there's an art form and a science to literally getting a job in 2015. And that is what we're going to be talking about next week. So make sure you tune in. You can follow and learn more about Angelo Ellaby at Double Exposure's website, which is D, as in DMX, DXXNYC.com. Once again, DXXNYC.com. And you can follow him on Facebook. I would say Twitter, but he hasn't posted since September, so last year. So don't even worry about that one. But definitely go to the website. It is so much more. I mean, the history, the artist. Angelo, I didn't even know, as I digress, that you, A, wrote a book on your own, but also that in 2000, Kaplan carried a course based upon your teachings. Do tell.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to talk about, the artist development part of it. Uh-huh.
Sorry, Jay.
Go ahead, Angelo. Yeah.
You know, it's really, you guys spoke about fashion, and truly fashion is a part of my life. More importantly for me, I think that image is everything. And before I would talk to my clients about the importance of image and style, I had to talk to my staff. And I had to make sure that they understood the importance of image and style. I don't care. I used to ask everybody, do you have a mirror? Did you look in the mirror before you came into my office today? I think what you should do is go back home and get it all together again.
You did say that. You told a couple people during my tenure to go home. You said, go home today. Today's not your day.
There you go. Today's not
we were
your
like,
day.
Oh, my God, he's he's mean.
And they didn't understand, you know, I always says, you know, bring something black and keep it in the closet. You never know if you're going to have to take someone to dinner. Always have something black in the closet, a pair of black pants, jacket, whatever. So the image and the stylization was so very important to me, and it had to start with my staff. When I couldn't go to all of the meetings, and then whoever I sent to go to the meetings, they were representing me. And so I want the hair to look good. I want you to know how to put your face on, look at your nails before. Because that's what people, first impression, my mother always taught me, first impression was lasting impression. And before you open up your mouth, that's what they see. And they're judging you based on that. And so I would get through, you know, June Ambrose started out with me. She's a green card at this point. Yeah. June Ambrose started out with me, and I remember June and I and Byron was doing a TV show every week with Jamie Foster Brown.
Oh, my
and
God,
June
Jamie. Oh, my God, memories.
June had put one black dress, and Byron and I looked at June, and we ridiculed her so bad. We was like, so what if she don't like this black one black dress? June went away for about a year away from me and came back, June Ambrose. I'm so very proud of her because she understands the importance of style and fashion and flair. And we began to work together to make presentations nationally about the importance of an artist's image and style. You have to, if you take a picture, you need to look like that picture.
And that's what you taught us.
Exactly like that picture.
Taught us that. Do you remember when Romero would do our makeup, Angelo?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He would make sure that every staff person had a press shot.
Yes.
Wow. And then you used to bring me in to help personal train and to also be on some of your image panels where we would talk about the image of the artist and what's expected. I remember that.
I think these things are so important. I think the young people today, young PR people, don't get it. It is a package deal. And I think if you're going to come out here as a publicist, know the who, what's, the when's, the where's, and the why's of PR. And understand that you should have a knowledge of every entity that makes you the greatest person that you are and that you can be great because you're knowledgeable about more than one thing, more than just PR, about fashion, about style, about music, about all the things that make up a real artist. Those are the things that I try to get across to young people, and I still try to get across to this day and this time. But my mother used to say, she says, you know what you're going to go, I want you to go out here and just experience life. Go ahead and fall down. And I would not get what she was saying to me when she would say it. As I grew older, I got it. I would fall down and understood, getting back up, wow, I get it now, Ma, I get it. And I think that's what's happening today when young people call me and talk to me about their whole job objective as a publicist. They just think that it's about taking people to the red carpet or taking them to a party. And I'm like, no, that's just a little bitty. That's a bit of it, 1% of it. Let's grab the 99% and make it 100 and understand all the things that you must have knowledge of before you go out and say that this is what you do.
Wow.
You know, you gotta know all these different entities today in order to exist. It's not like yesterday.
Right.
You have to be able to do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You're so right.
And
we have a question, Angelo, for you, if you don't mind. We have a question.
Mm-hmm.
We have a question for Angelo that I came across.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. And the question is, in your opinion, I don't want to be a star as it relates to entertainment, But what would you say are the necessary tools to become a superstar in my field?
I think the first thing is that we have to understand the business of music. And I think the downfall with so many young artists is that they have their artistry, but they don't have the business of music. And we lose out when we are not educated to the who, what's, when's, where's, and why's of existence as it relates to our royalties, as it relates to our splits, all those things that are going to keep us moving and keep us being productive in knowing your business. And it's not about your manager. It's about you having the same knowledge or the same understanding that the manager has when it comes down to agreements. Those are the I look at Beyonce, because the father taught what he needed to teach, and he taught them not just the dance movement and the hair, but he taught them the business as well. So now she knows the difference in right and wrong. She knows how to select her staff. She knows what that assistant should be doing, or what that publicist should be doing, or what that accountant should be doing, or traveling. These are the things that make you a compact individual with winning power. Now let's work on the artistry. People believe because they can sing and then they don't treat the voice. You have to go to a vocal coach. Take a dance class. Go and take some acting classes so that you become well-rounded and that it's not one-dimensional as an artist. So you can go out and you can do Broadway. You can do off-Broadway. You can go to Paris and you can work on it's just so many things that builds a superstar. And then you have to be selective about who you have around you. Everyone around you is not your friend. I saw friend E-N-D. It's going to end.
Oh, my God.
And so many times. I split the syllable, and that's what you got. I got a friend in Jesus. I ain't got no friend with somebody that looks like me. Mm-hmm. And that's just from 45 years of experience. Everyone that you have hanging around you is not your friend.
That's true.
You need
to
let them work towards that.
That kind of actually goes into a question that I'd like to ask, was sort of like a two-part question. When you talk about friends and then some of the negativity that gets out there, what do you consider crisis management as, because that's really another thing that publicists do that people don't understand, and how would you handle the crisis management?
You know, I have dealt with so many, from Juanita Bynum to Michael Jackson to everyone underneath the sun. And I always say go back to the scene of the accident. And what I mean by that is having a conversation, a clear understanding with the client as to what, and they have to be very honest with you. I remember creating, and Karen, I think you were still there with us when there was the crisis with Michael Jackson and the alleged things that were supposed to be happening.
Oh, yes.
With him and young. Okay, what we did is we created what was called the Children's Choice of Awards with Vince. And
I remember.
We did it around the corner on 57th Street City Center. And what we did is it was an award show. And I think the governor's wife got something, somebody else got something, and then it was Michael Jackson. My whole thing was if they said this man did all these things to these kids, let's bring all of these kids into an auditorium. Didn't charge them a dime. It was all free. Gave everybody awards. Well, when Michael Jackson stepped on that stage, it was like the parting of the seas. And the kids and the press was in abundance. But for that time, for the next 2 or 3 months, it was all just silent. There was no more alleged, nothing alleged. So I went back to the scene of the accident just to bring all that to a head, to show, that, to let everyone understand where Michael was coming from and where the kids were coming from. And every situation differs. You know, with the Juanita of Bynum and her husband thing, if we went through I cannot even get into the details of what, but it was bringing them together face to face to make a to get an understanding of what really took place and how we need to try to dissolve this matter. We can go on down the road. Each situation is so very, very, very different. But I always just believe, whatever the situation, there is a resolve to it, and you have to go back to the scene of the accident with truth and honesty. Bring some kind of resolve to it.
I love it. What a great, great explanation. Right, Janet?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well,
and
the kids are getting a lesson today. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we got to pay another bill before we get out.
You
said
it was a
two-parter?
Well,
that was it. The two-part meaning, like, what do you consider crisis management and how do you handle it? So those two questions there.
Okay.
Yeah.
See,
I do have another one, but, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you have two publicists on the phone, both of us got talking points. So we all just talking.
Yes.
Y'all, you got to say something, Jay. But here's a question that came in also, Angelo, for you. The question is, I have a PR company. It is very small. What do you think about offering, what do you think about the word free? Is it good to offer free service or does it discount value? That is a great question. What do you think about that? Being an entrepreneur, being in business for over 45 years, what do you think about the word free and the negative connotation that's attached to it?
Well, I don't like the word free. Never have. And never will.
You take off the E and make it R? Like, what do you
think? Well, I know. I just believe that my forefathers fought for me to stand on my own ground and make a living at what I go to do. And I think when you do things for free, people don't really respect that.
I agree.
When there's an exchange of a dollar and cent, we get it. I get it. But when
you
say,
show
free,
up,
I'm going to give my services free, what's that about? You pay me for
like
my services. Goods for services, services for goods. No goods, no service.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
can he be our guest every week? No, I'm
just
joking. Awesome. answer. Another one, Angelo, and now I'll give it to you, Janet.
Okay.
Internship.
Okay.
Are you offering an internship at present?
Yeah, I always have an open door policy if I believe that the candidate is right. If they want to come around me for if there's another Karen out there, yes, I have an open door. But if you want to come around here
ever.
You know, if you want to just come around and get CDs and go to parties, no, stay the hell where you're at.
Nobody has CDs anymore. Cut it out.
Oh, well, what do you call it? Whatever it is. I mean, whatever the free giveaways are, don't they still have CDs, girl? Don't they still have CDs?
Downloaded at iTunes.
Downloads or whatever. Whatever's free, the word free, cancel it out. Don't think you're going to get anything free from Angelo. You're going to work for whatever I give you. And if you don't work, you don't get paid. If you don't work and if you come, you know, another thing is when you start to talk about interns, I don't treat nobody like an intern.
You're
an employee.
You work first day out.
You're going to work the day out. You're going to work it out, and I'm going to make sure you work it out. I'm going to give you your account. I'm going to give you your little accounts, your assignments, and you bring that to the table, too. I don't understand the freedom, and you just wanted to come around me and pull all my sources and resources from me, and then you gonna go out the door and go to work for
Uh-oh, we opened a can, Janet.
Yeah.
What happened to
all
I am one with the Lord? Go, Janet.
I'm one for the Lord. I am one to give from God. But I cannot give if you're
we're
if
messing with you. We know.
Give if I can't give. You,
you
know
got that right. Listen, you got to pay your bills and you got to live too, right?
Absolutely. And I try to live very grandly.
Let's just take this quick break and we'll be right back, guys.
All
right. Reset. Reset.
Entrepreneurs, moms, and small business owners. Reset and power up. Download your do-it-yourself PR guide and your very own book at KarenTaylorBell.com. Don't wait. Book your spot now to talk to the experts on the 30-Day Reset Show with Karen Taylor Bass. You can email Karen at karentaylorbass.com, or you can call 917-509-3061. Reset and book your spot now.
Hey, all right. Yes. I have one last question.
But before you ask that question, Janet, Angelo, I have to ask a question. Who has the sexiest voice that you know of? Isn't her name Janet Jill Scott?
It's Janet Jill Scott, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for Janet Jill Scott.
Go, Jay. What's your question?
Okay, my question is, because I love this artist development stuff, because, you know, that's what I was basically a beauty, health, and image media person. But, Angelo, what was your most memorable experience in the artist development field and with the many artists that you worked with?
Mary J. Blige.
Why is that?
Because the first day that Mary came to me, she was an hour late. And I was very punctual with what I needed to do for myself. I was going to lunch. So she was getting off of the elevator, and I was getting on the elevator. She looked at me and said, "Are you Angelo?" I said, "Yes, I am, and you're an hour late. Why don't we try this again tomorrow?" She looked at me, and her security person looked at me, and I said, "I'm going to be late. I have reservations at a restaurant." The next day she came, and she was an hour early.
Wow.
And it was really, really hard for me and for her, because at that time, the next day, my nephew had died, who I raised. And I don't necessarily always listen to my artist's music. And she had said, "And so I want you to listen to this song." And it was, "You can look into this mirror and see what I see." And I tried to play this very strong, tough guy. And a tear fell because I had just learned about my nephew's death. And then I opened up to her first. It was supposed to be the opposite. And then she started to open up to me about her life and the difficulties that she went through with her father and living where she lived and the whole of the bit. And we just connected. We connected, and it was more enjoyable than, because I didn't think that it was going to be. I thought it was going to be some hard 27 weeks with her. But every day was a blessing. Every day was, I was so thankful. Every day we learned about each other. We began to read together, different books, diction speech classes. We became friends. And I don't use that word loosely. We really became friends, and we began to know each other and care about each other and her concerns. So when I see her today, I'm very, very proud. Mm-hmm. Not to say that's 90% of my work. I'm just saying, because it's not instant coffee. It was brewed coffee. It took some time.
Yeah, that was one of my most enjoyable ones.
Okay. Wow, this has been a great, great show. I mean, amazing. Right, Janet? We had to get, like, applause tracks. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
this is just amazing, Angelo. Just the fellowship that we had tonight, just, you know, reminiscing and schooling, and but also just breaking bread again and just, you know, paying homage to you and such an amazing life you have lived thus far with so much more to come. You know, the show is called 30 Day Reset because I truly believe that things happen in stages, 30, 60, 90, 120, and so forth. But when you commit to something for 30 days, you begin to see a transformation. So let me just ask you this, my last question. And if you could complete it, I knew it was time to press reset when?
When I lost my mom. Mm. I began to understand what life was really all about, because she was my best friend and she was my only friend. And as time, it's only been a year, but as time has moved on, I remember everything she ever taught me. And she encouraged me and she loved me, and these are the things that I try to put out more now than I ever have, the encouragement and the love of human beings and care and concern for others. That would just state my case with regards to your question, Karen.
Oh my! It's a beautiful answer. It's an amazing answer.
Yeah,
and I remember your mom. You know, working with you. How could you not remember, Mama? Like you, I remember your mom and the special relationship and bond that you guys had. It was absolutely beautiful, and still have, because I know it's still dear and it's still precious, and she's still with you. So what an amazing inspirational answer, Janet. Do you want to say anything?
Mm-hmm.
I know we've.
So I just want to thank Angelo for coming on and being such a great guest and sharing with all the listeners.
Definitely. And, we, you know, once again, we said at the top of the show that Matthew Knowles was unable to make it today. We hope to get him at a later date. If he was on the show, Angelo, what do you think he would want to, you know, impart to the guests? What would he want to say? Anything as it relates to show business? What would you say?
Yeah. You know, I think he has a brilliant, brilliant mind. I think he's a second coming to Berry Gordy. I think that his contributions that he's made, not just to his daughters, but the contributions that he's made to the music industry is just phenomenal. I think any time that you can take something and make it, take nothing and make it into something, is extraordinary. And to have the intuitiveness and to have the belief and the faith in taking the dream and making it a reality is phenomenal. I mean, he created a brilliant star that is current, that is, he created this girl, these groups, these people, and they're viable in a marketplace. He's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. I don't care what anyone has to say about him. I look at his contributions that he's made to us as a people, what he's able to provide and what he's been able to give. I think he's brilliant when it comes down to the knowledge of the music industry and what he's contributing to the industry. And I think that he would speak, if he was on tonight, he would speak about the importance of education. And that he would speak about the importance of finances and business and things that you need to know before you get into that craft of it all. Yeah.
Do you think he would tell us that we can look forward to a Destiny's Child reunion?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're talking about that now. I mean, that's one of the things that we've been promoting now for the last 3 or 4 weeks outside of his book. And the boot camp thing that he's working out with people coming into Texas, and I think it's on October the 24th, where he actually had classes where people could.
Yeah, I saw that. And what's the name of his book? What is it called again?
The book is called The DNA of Achievers. And it's ten individuals that he's selected that he looks as being mentors, achievers of great heights in life. He gives his story of his life and where he grew up at, and his mother and his father and the whole other bit, and it's 10 people. And he gives you the ingredients that it takes you to get to the apex of your success.
We're looking forward to. That's amazing. We hope that we can reschedule
thank
him.
You.
Thank you, Angelo, so much for spending this hour with us of just dropping science and nuggets, but most importantly, just empowering us to know that, you know, we can do better. We are accountable to each other, but most importantly, we are accountable to ourselves, and it starts with us. So I thank you for just being that special person
thank
in
you.
My life and giving me a chance. And I thank you, Janet, for tonight and for every night. And, you know, everyone listening, thank you. I didn't get all the questions in the chat room, but I'm sorry about that. I hope you found this enjoyable, but most importantly, purposeful. This is 30 Day Reset. It's Karen Taylor Bass, your host, along with Janet Shill Scott and our very special guest, Angelo Ellerbe. And please go to the website, dxxnyc.com. My mentor, thank you so much.
My
Good
pleasure.
Night.
My pleasure. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Peace to you all.